Hey church, good to be with you. Thanks for taking some time to join us as we get into God's Word. We will be in 1 John chapter 1. We'll be looking at verses 5 through 10. As some of you know, we began a series in 1 John last week, and we looked at that first section in chapter 1. This week we'll be finishing the rest of the chapter. We'll be looking at verses 5 through 10. The title of the sermon is Fellowship in the Light. Fellowship in the Light. Let's read 1 John 1, verse 5 through 10. It says this. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Let's pray that God would bless our time together today. Our Father, we thank You that You are here with us. We thank You that You love us, Lord, that You have spoken this word to us, Lord, that You preserved Your words in this book, and that this is a living book. God, that You want to breathe life into our very souls. Some of us are dry, we're weary, we're trying to figure out what's going to happen in the future. But we know, God, that we can always look to You. So when our heart is overwhelmed, lead us to the rock that's higher than us, Lord. We pray that You would give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to receive Your truth, God. I pray that You would impress Your truth on our heart and that You would help it to change our lives, God. Change our desires. Help us in the areas where we want to grow. God, we want to see us walk in victory, Lord. And I pray that You would help us in those things. Have Your way in us, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God is light, John says here in verse 5. He says, this is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Scripture oftentimes speaks about this contrast between darkness and light, and we'll kind of get into that as we look at this text. Last week we saw that John just went right into it in chapter 1 and said, hey, I'm going to tell you about who Jesus is. We saw the reason why he wrote this book. There's different reasons why he wrote, and we saw two of those things in that section that we were looking at. One was so that we would have fellowship with each other and with the Father and with the Son. The other one was in verse 4, so that we would have this fullness of joy in this relationship with Jesus. And so John wastes no time in getting into it and saying, hey, I want to tell you about Jesus, about what he's done. And then in this section, he's going to get into kind of expounding on this idea of fellowship and basically talking about what are the conditions of fellowship? What should we know about fellowship? And we said that that word fellowship speaks about this deep personal relationship that we have with God and each other. It's rooted in the person of Christ. It's sealed by the work of Christ. And so because of what he's done for us, we've been brought into this living, vibrant relationship with each other and with God. This is one of the purposes why he's writing. And right off the bat, John says, I want to declare this message to you. He says that God is light. You see, it's interesting when we talk about Christianity, because I think a lot of times we begin with us. Many people think that Christianity is just a list of do's and don'ts. Hey, we do these things and we don't do these things, and people might know us You know, they might say you're just against all of these things. But what we see from this text is that really Christianity in its essence is about God. It begins with God. And so before John tells us the implications of the message, he's basically going to tell us the essence of the message, the heart of the message. And this is the starting point in what we need as people who are in this world, because oftentimes when we're confused or we're lost, we start with us. And what happens is we don't have the perspective to see what's happening. We don't look at it through the eyes of God. We say, no, this is just how it looks to me. And when we look at it merely through our own eyes, and when we begin with us, what ends up happening? There's much confusion, disillusionment, and hurt. And John says, hey, I want to declare to you the message that I received from Jesus. He says that God is light. What does it mean that God is light? First of all, I think it speaks of the nature and the character of God. Light speaks of God's moral perfections, his holiness, his goodness, his righteousness, his justice. He is morally pure and he's completely set apart from sin. There is no sin or evil in God. He is altogether holy. And this is confirmed as we look at the second part of that sentence where it says, yeah, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So we can see God's light, his moral perfections. There is no darkness. There's no evil in God. He's completely pure. He's untainted by sin or darkness. But this message that God is light also means that God loves to reveal himself to people. Think about what light does. It illuminates. It helps you see what's there. Why is this important? Because remember the context in which 1 John was written. We talked about this a little bit last week, but John is writing at a time when Gnosticism was on the rise. Right? There were these false teachers that were springing up from within the church. And outside the church, they were teaching that there was a secret knowledge that was available to those who would open themselves up to it. That those who were truly spiritual would discover these deep, mysterious truths that had been hidden from the rest of humanity. And so when John says that God is light, he's saying that God, by his very nature, longs to reveal himself to people. And that's good news for us because God wants to be known. He wants to be in relationship with us. He wants to be found by us. And he's chosen to reveal himself in this book we call the Bible. And that's why we teach through the Bible. We focus on scriptures in the Bible because we believe that this is the book that God has revealed himself in. We saw this last week. As John basically says, hey, I was an eyewitness to Jesus. I saw him. I touched him. I was with him. I traveled with him. He's saying, I'm giving you firsthand testimony of the reality of the risen Christ. And so it's very important that if this is the book, the Bible, if this is the book that God has revealed himself in, it's very important that we examine it to see what it says. And it's interesting to see how Scripture talks about how God's Word gives us light to see who God is. Listen to some of these scriptures for a moment. Proverbs 6:23 says, "For these commands are a lamp, this teaching is a light." Psalm 119 verse 105 says, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." Psalm 119 verse 130 says, "The unfolding of your words gives light, and the word of the prophets is a light shining in a dark place." That last one, 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19. And so what we see here is that there's this direct connection between God's light and God's word. They go hand in hand. If you want to know God more, if you want to have more enlightenment, allow God to open up his word to you. It will bring light to your darkness. It will anchor you when you feel lost. It will guide you and keep you through the storms of life. And ultimately, what we see from Scripture is that the light of the Word of God is meant to point us to the person of Christ himself. Jesus declares in John 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Hear those words from Jesus as he declares, we live in a dark world. And Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. And if you follow me, you will not walk in darkness, but you'll have the light of life." And so the question for us is, are we taking comfort in who God is? Have we embraced this light of the world, Jesus Christ? Have we been brought into this fellowship with God through Christ and what he's done on the cross for us? Through his death and resurrection, Christ has made a way for us to come to God. Do we understand the position that we've been given as children of God? Because, guys, I think we don't oftentimes realize what we've been given. It's easy to lose sight of the blessing that is ours in Christ Jesus. And I'm not talking about the material blessings that God gives us, although those things are nice. I'm speaking about this spiritual deliverance from sin, death, and the devil that Christ has accomplished for us. Listen to what Colossians 1, verse 13 says. Paul says here in Colossians 1, he says, "He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son." What is Paul saying? This is something that only Jesus could do. Jesus brought us out of the realm of the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. This God of light, Jesus has done this for us. Have we forgotten what it feels like to be in the domain of darkness? I think for some of us, if you've been walking with the Lord for a while, it's easy to lose sight of this. We forget what it feels like to be lost. But we must never forget how that feels. We must never forget the spiritual reality that there are people in this world who are living in the domain of darkness, who God wants to deliver out of that and transfer them into the kingdom of his beloved Son. And so I pray that God would remind us of this, of our own testimony, and that we would glory in the cross, and that we wouldn't take God's love for granted. Look at what John goes on to say in verse 6. He says, "If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." See, this message that God is light is meant to shape how we live our lives. Christianity is not merely an intellectual assent to these facts of the gospel. It's not just like, okay, if my brain just believes this to be true, then that's good enough. No, true biblical belief will always result in a lifestyle change. And that's important to know. Because it's easy to profess Christ, to say, "I believe in Christ, I'm a Christian," but it is a little bit difficult to walk in that, to represent Christ, right? True saving belief, John is saying, is seen in a transformed life. James says in his book, "Faith without works is dead." He's not saying that you're saved by your works, but he is saying that the works that flow from our lives give evidence of our true spiritual condition. If we merely have a profession of faith, void of any lifestyle changes or living out that faith, James would call that a dead faith. And John would say that if we claim to know Christ while walking in darkness, we should be greatly concerned about our true spiritual condition. He's not saying that you're going to be perfect. But if you're in habitual patterns of sin, if you're comfortable living a lifestyle of sin, that should be reason for concern. It's interesting what Jesus says in John chapter 3, verse 19 to 21. He tells us about the real reason why people are content to walk in darkness. Listen to what he says here. He says, "And this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who practices evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds be exposed. But the one who practices the truth comes to the light in order that his deeds may be revealed, that they are done in God." Do you hear what he's saying? One of the reasons why people don't come to the light is because their deeds are evil, because they actually love darkness rather than light. When you wake up in the morning, right, you're used to kind of being in a dark atmosphere. You get up and you see the light. You have that little squint. You're like, oh, it's kind of uncomfortable. It takes a little bit to transition to seeing that light. Many people around us are walking around and they're content to walk in spiritual darkness. The light is too bright. It exposes their sin and they love their darkness. They don't want it to be exposed. But what Christ is saying is, hey, bring your sin into the light. It's the best place for you to be. Let's pray for the people in our lives who are walking in darkness, who could care less about Christ. Let's keep them in prayer. Nothing is impossible with the Lord. The second thing I want us to look at is in verses 7 through 8, and that is the call. The call, walk in the light. John says this in verse 7. "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." I love what John Stott has to say about this. He says, "The effect of the light is not just to make people see, but to enable them to walk. Right conduct, not just clear vision, is the benefit which light bestows." End quote. I love what he's saying there. The purpose of the light is not just to help you see, but it's to help you walk. As believers, we want to bring our practice in line with our profession. If we profess to know Christ, the call for us is to live in light of who Christ is. God is light, and he calls us as his children to walk in the light. Paul echoes this in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. He says, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." And so there's a blessing that's available to those who would walk in the light. John says that we have fellowship with another. We have fellowship with one another. We have a deep connection, this personal relationship with each other when we're walking in the light. Because here's the truth of it, is that when we're walking in darkness, when we're walking in patterns of sin, when we have our secret lives, we tend to isolate ourselves from the people of God. This is a very dangerous place for us to be. If you're struggling in a place right now where you're like, man, I can't shake this sin. I'm just so embarrassed about it. I don't want to talk about it. It's disrupting fellowship with my brothers and sisters. Man, I would just encourage you, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. We'd love to hear what's going on with you. We'd love to pray for you and love on you. One of the greatest lies the enemy tells us is, hey, if you bring this into the light, they're going to reject you. They're going to judge you. They're going to think ill of you. And listen, whenever I've stepped out and confessed, I've always, like, there's this thing where it's like, man, like, it's such a risk, right? But then I think when we do it, we just see God honor that, and he blesses us, and we feel this weight lift off of us of like, wow, I brought this darkness into the light. And as we bring our sin into the light, the darkness loses its power. You see, and what's affected here, it's not necessarily our standing with God, our justification, right? Christ died for our sins on the cross once and for all. It's finished, he said. But what's in view here is our fellowship, our relationship with Christ. Our ability to experience fellowship with each other and with God changes based upon how we walk. God isn't the one that puts a separation there. We do when we choose to sin. We miss out when we choose to walk in darkness. But what John says here is, man, there's some great blessings available to those who would walk in the light. Again, he's not saying that we're going to be perfect, but he is saying that we're going to be real with each other and with God. Saying the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. This is for you today. As you sit here, as you listen to this message, you think about the sins that you've been struggling with on a continual basis. The question for us is this: are we experiencing the cleansing blood of Jesus? This just means this, the sacrifice of Christ. Are we preaching the gospel to ourselves? Are we being real with each other? Are we allowing that cleansing flow to wash over us? He says in verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. What is he referring to here? Could be referring to specific sins, but he also could be referring to our sin nature. Because notice what John says. He says, if we say we have no sin, singular, not sins, plural, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. He'll go on to talk about sins that we commit in verse 9, but here some people think he's talking about our sin nature in general. He's speaking about the condition that we've been born into, not necessarily the sinful actions that we've done. Listen to how King David describes this in Psalm 51, verse 5. He says, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. He's saying, before I ever committed specific sins, I was born in sin. I was born broken. This actually flies in the face of what many people today believe about the nature of humanity. Maybe you've heard it said or you've said it yourself. Humanity at its core is good. People are generally good in and of themselves. You know, the reason why people are the way they are is because of their environment, their socioeconomic status, their lack of education, or a multitude of different factors. And these things can definitely contribute to the brokenness in the world. But what the scripture says is that they're not the primary reason for it. The primary reason why humanity is broken is because of sin. We go all the way back to the fall, when Adam and Eve chose to go their own way in the garden. Sin entered the world. From then on, we've been experiencing the consequences ever since. And the Bible's clear that we've all inherited this sin nature from our parents. Parents who have kids, you know this to be true, right? You don't need to teach your child to be selfish. They just are. You've never had to teach your child how to throw a temper tantrum or hit other kids, right? But you have had to teach them not to do those things. And what John is saying is that if we deny the reality of sin in our lives, we'll end up believing a lie. When we think about deceit, it's usually something that someone else does to you or you do to someone else. But here we have a willful, deliberate denial of the truth that we've been given in God's word. And the scary thing about this is it's self-deception. You know, it's been said that no one lies to you more than you do. I think that's very true. The lies that you tell yourself, or about other people, or about God, those are the most dangerous lies, because you don't even know that they're a lie. We're oftentimes the very ones who pull the wool over our own eyes. We rather accept beliefs that sit well with us, but we end up lying to ourselves, and walking in deception. But John wants to give us a better way forward here. And he extends to us an invitation in verses 9 through 10. What is this invitation? He says, bring your sin into the light. Bring your sin into the light. Look at what it says in verse 9 and 10. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. This invitation that John is laying before us is a call to live a life of freedom. It's an invitation to be real, to be known, and to be loved. I don't know about you, but there are times in my life where I've held on to certain sins. Maybe it's a grudge that I was holding against someone. I let that fester for years. Doesn't mean I'm always thinking about it, but it's definitely there in the deep parts of my heart. And eventually, the weight, you don't even realize it, so you get used to living with these burdens. I remember approaching someone and just being honest with them and saying, hey, I just wanted to ask for your forgiveness because I've been holding this bitterness against you. And man, I can't tell you the weight that came off of me. Like, you don't realize the weight you're carrying until you confess. Until you get right. And I was like, man, I could breathe. Like, I just felt so much lighter being able to really get right. And same thing with our sins, our personal sins in our lives. When we're able to confess our sins, man, there's a freedom that God brings because we're walking in the truth. If Christ has already paid the price for our sins, why do we still need to confess our sins? It's an interesting question. Because those who have truly experienced the forgiveness of Christ, they desire to confess so that they might experience this joy of knowing God, of having fellowship with God. Right? Christ paid for our sins once and for all on the cross. But us experiencing this closeness and this fellowship with God is dependent upon us confessing our sins. If we want to experience the joy that John's talking about in verse 4, this fullness of joy, we've got to continually live a life of confession. David prays in Psalm 51, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Notice he doesn't say, give me back my salvation because I've just blown it so badly that I probably lost it. He says, no, restore to me the joy of your salvation. I've lost the joy because I've chosen to sin. And as we confess, we ask God, God, restore to me the joy of your salvation. It's possible to have your sins forgiven and not be experiencing the joy and that intimacy with Christ. But as we live a life of confession, we'll find ourselves experiencing deep joy and gladness in the Lord. When we deny that we've sinned or we try to cover our sins, we're just working against our own joy and happiness. I love what one guy told me about marriage. He says, you know, would you rather be right? Would you rather be happy? You know, and he says, sometimes people respond with both. But I like that question. Because it's like sometimes when you choose to just be right or just say, I'm going to, you know, fight to just be right, you end up losing that happiness. When we humble ourselves and say, hey, I'm going to admit where I was wrong, I'm going to humble myself, you end up experiencing that joy of that relationship being restored. This word confess, it basically means to agree with what God says about our situation. We're basically saying, I'm agreeing with God's assessment of me and how he views my sin. Proverbs 28 verse 13 says this, he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. I think it's possible that some of us are carrying around sins that maybe you've been holding on to for years. Maybe there's things that you've never confessed to anyone. And I would encourage you, step out in faith. If you need prayer for anything, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. We love to pray for you. We want to see you prosper in health, in your spirit with God, in your relationships. But man, when we hold on to our sin and we cover our sins, Proverbs says here, you're not going to prosper. The person who covers their sins will not prosper. You're not going to progress. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. I love what James says in James 5, verse 16. He says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous person accomplishes much. It is our responsibility as brothers and sisters in the Lord to bear each other's burdens. He says here that we confess to one another. Not that I need you to forgive me for something that I did necessarily, but it's more so that we would receive healing. We would receive wholeness because sin wounds us. And as we confess our sin, as we bring it into the light, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you struggle with guilt and shame about your sin, I would encourage you, memorize 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Such a powerful verse. Such a powerful verse. When you sin, what do you do when you sin? Do you run from God or do you run to God? John says here, hey, run to God. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus can deal with the guilt of your sins. Jesus can cleanse you from the stain of your sins. The cross of Christ was enough to cleanse the worst of sins and the worst of sinners. You can't out-sin the cross of Christ. All that he asks here is that we confess, that we repent, that we forsake our sins, and we acknowledge Jesus paid it all. One of the things that might hold us back from experiencing this forgiveness is our own morality. We're unable to see that we are sinners. We might just say, no, I made mistakes, or, you know, no one's perfect. But the lack of owning the responsibility that we need to take for our sins, this can really keep us from progressing in our Christian life. It can really keep us from the kingdom. One commentator says this, no man was ever kept out of God's kingdom for his confessed badness, many are for their supposed goodness. He's saying what basically keeps people out of God's kingdom, it's not that they're confessing their sins, that they have all these different sins that they're confessing. No, it's the failure to confess. Or it's them thinking that they're good enough to enter into God's kingdom without ever confessing their sins. And he's saying that will keep you out of the kingdom as well. Whether you break all the rules or you keep all the rules, both of those paths will keep you out of heaven. That is amazing. That's blowing my mind. Keeping all the rules, because you can never do it. And even if you did keep all the rules, your motivations are not always perfect and right. We need to come to the cross of Christ. We need to confess our sins to each other, to pray for one another, to call out to God and say, God, cleanse me. If you've been in a habitual pattern of sin, I would encourage you, call out to God. Say, God, please work in me. Give me a willing heart that I wouldn't abuse your grace or your forgiveness. That I wouldn't have this attitude of, well, God will forgive me so I can just keep on sinning. No, if you can do that and if you can operate that way, that probably means you haven't experienced the mercy of Christ. The grace and the mercy of Christ will always lead us into holiness. It will always lead us away from sin and into holiness. May we preach the gospel to ourselves this week. May we walk in the light as he is in the light. Just want to close by reading a couple lines from an old hymn. It says this: there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. I pray that if we have guilt and shame, if we're seeking to cover ourselves from our sins, I pray that we would come into the light, that we would look to the light of the world, Jesus Christ himself, and receive that forgiveness and healing, that we'd call out to him. If you don't know Christ this morning, this could be your day when you reach out and say, you know what? I've never had my sins forgiven. I've always wondered if I'm going to make it to heaven. The Bible says you can know for certain that you're going to heaven. The Bible says whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You just have to call out to Jesus. Jesus, save me. Jesus, forgive me. Have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus will come in. He'll give you eternal life. He'll cleanse you of all your sin, and you'll be with him forever. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would cleanse us. Give us a vision of who you are, God. As John saying, God is light. Help us to live in the light of your truth this week. Help us to walk in the light, Lord. The areas where we're failing to walk in the light, we're not loving people rightly. We're not loving our spouses rightly, or we're not loving our roommates or the people that you put in our family. We're holding grudges. We're walking in lust. We're entertaining evil thoughts. We're being lazy. All these different areas where we walk in darkness, God, I pray that you would bring your conviction and that you lead us to repentance. I pray, God, that you would help us, that you'd restore the joy of your salvation. If we're not experiencing that joy right now, I pray that you would just anoint us with the joy, the oil of gladness, that we would realize all that we've been given in you. Free us up to confess, that we'd be a community that lives in you, that's transparent, that's honest about our sins and our failures, and that we'd receive healing in those places where we need. Bless us. We need your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.